You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We had a couple of conversations yesterday about, with Bregman being a Red Sox, how do we react? Raheel, who joined us yesterday, who was the one who didn't realize John Lance were gone or not available till 9. He's the one who isn't a real one. Man was like, I get in when I can. But he talked about booing Bregman. We had a caller, I forgot his name, I apologize, who said the same. I'm booing Bregman. I'm not there for it just because I don't boo people at all. I will scream in my home about how bad you suck, maybe even call you a name that I wouldn't repeat if you were pissing me off. But I won't go to your place of work and boo you. There are levels to this, and my level is to fume at you at home. But, AJ, I don't know if you're a booer. You can start with that. But with Bregman being a Red Sox, and you've been in the town when Correa left and Springer left, and now, well, we already forget that Tucker's a Cub, but he was traded, so I guess we don't hold him the same way we hold the other guys for leaving. You a boo, or are you going to look at Bregman coming into now Daikin Field in August, I think, and see that as an opportunity to boo him?
I mean, I understand Astros fans wanting to boo him, but like you said, I'm not really a person that just does that too much. Like, if I'm at home, I mean, obviously I'm rooting for their Astros, so I don't want you to do well against Astros. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of Bregman. I mean, sad to see him go, but it makes sense. But, I mean, if you're playing against – if you're opposition, I mean
– Oh, yeah. You got that Red Sox jersey on. I'm not rooting for your success. But when that tribute video comes on, I'm not going to stand and – I wouldn't stand and boo while I was playing.
Right, exactly.
Like, when he comes back, you know, let's welcome back two-time World Series champion Alex Bregman. I would hope it's not mixed,
right?
But I can't predict. It might be more than just he's gone. It could be the fact that he's got that jersey on. It could be the fact that people had some hope that he would come back, because the other guys, well, Tucker got traded, but no one thought they were giving him a new deal, even though there was a year left on his deal. Gerrit Cole was never coming back, and Gerrit Cole ain't one of us. He was never, like, he was a mercenary. They traded for him, great. But he doesn't have a championship on the resume as an Astro, so it's different. Bregman was one of the big time prospects that everyone was waiting for, and of course, he struggled so much early. People were saying he should get sent down. He didn't, and then he turned into what he turned into. He's one of those types where I'm gonna say, I get the business. You're getting $40 million a year. Sad to see you go, but I ain't gonna stand up and boo you. I ain't got time for it. Just don't hit against the Astros. I'm not saying I'm going to wish them success, period, because why would I want the Red Sox to do well? But particularly on nights when you're playing the Astros, I'm going to need you to be like one of those soccer players who hates scoring goals against their team, and then anytime they do, they don't celebrate. You know what you can do? Don't hit home runs. Don't drive in runs. You need to be your worst possible self. Every time you face the Astros, it should be like early season Bregman. That's what I'm looking for. The worst you could possibly play. You wanna boot a ball or two? That's fine. Do all that. And when you play the Yankees, you can beat the cover off the ball for all I care. But I'm rooting for your lack of success when you're playing against a hometown team. And I think my approach is reasonable. We will see how people react when they eventually see him in that uniform in Daikin Park. The Astros are out there, spring training. There's not a lot to take away from it other than Cam Smith appears to be the most impressive person anyone's ever seen him. Not since Jeremy Pena have Astros media been impressed by a new player. I've seen aircraft carrier. I've seen unit. Apparently Cam Smith is a big dude, not just in video, but in person. So that's my giant takeaway other than no, everyone's there except for like Montero. He's got a visa issue. So he's not in camp. They hope to have him there soon. Espada talked about Montero's absence, and he still thinks he's capable of being a big-time pitcher. Evidence would suggest as an Astro that's not the case, but Espada's reaching back to a time when Montero wasn't an Astro and mentioning the times that Montero kind of dominated stretches against the Astros as why he still believes in them. Let's look back. When's the last time Montero was the guy that Espada's talking about? Because do we have memories of that? Not in the recent history of Montero as an Astro. Last year wasn't good. He got a giant deal. It's the one that's going to be talked about quite a bit because it feels like when there was an absence of a real decision maker, Jeff Bagwell stepped in, and that's why Montero is still an Astro. But, you know, he was in the AOS for a long time. He's been in the AOS for a long time, was with the Rangers and with Seattle. Now he's going into his fourth season with the Astros and his third full season with them. And I don't see what Espada sees, but he thinks he's still got it. So Montero going into his 34-year-old year, they're going to depend on him. And with the trade of Ryan Pressly to the Cubs, there is a spot for that guy, for Montero, to become a guy they depend on. His importance has lessened as his performance has waned and the Astros invested in their back half of the bullpen, particularly with the acquisition of Hader. Of course, we know they gave Pressly a deal and Abreu is right there too. So there's a spot there for Montero. I don't see it, but a spot has been very positive overall, even with the roster being in flux about what this team can accomplish. And he thinks Montero's part of the package. He's going to have to get into camp first. Don't think there's going to be a giant delay, but there's a visa thing, so that's why Montero's not there. As far as the roster as a whole, if we go by what MLB Network has to say, they've got a roster, maybe not full of top 100 players, well, certainly several. Now, they lost two. Bregman gone, Tucker gone, but Paredes and Walker both, according to MLB Network, top 100 players. So if you throw those two guys in, you also have Yordan, Altuve and Fromber as your other top 100 players. I believe that comes out to five. Fromber, the only starting pitcher in the bunch. And I'd like one more. I'm not comfortable right now with the rotation. I like Hunter Brown. The Ronel Blanco thing, beyond the injuries to the other guys like Luis Garcia, Javier, and McCullers, can we get Ronel Blanco back? At least the guy we saw early. The guy who you might have said was the team MVP for the first couple months of the year, at least certainly in that pitching staff. Is he going to be a guy who reverts back to that, or is he the guy we saw once the pitches and innings built up and his performance wasn't as positive late as it was early? So whether you want to call him your third starter right now or you give that to Arrighetti, you're going to need one more guy to show out. Hunter Brown, Fromber, cool. I expect good things from them. Where's that third guy coming from? Do we have to wait until Garcia's back or McCullers is back? Which, at this point, the Astros keep talking about, like, that's a definite. We will see. Well, don't get fooled again, as that song goes. But are we waiting on Javier after the All-Star break? We gotta find a third to keep us afloat until that point. And I'm looking at Blanco. Arrighetti, I don't think it's fair to depend on him, at least in my eyes right now. Blanco's the older pitcher. He showed out last year. In my eyes, he should be that guy that should be your third solid starter, and hopefully that gets you to a point when the rest of those guys are healthy. You can start to pick and choose who you slide in and then your rotation goes from, at least right now, I believe, a question mark to maybe a strength. But we got some time to figure that out. A couple things regarding a plot hole I want to close. Do you guys remember we talked about this quite a bit, the SEC and their conference scheduling and Karl Ravitch being fooled by that? He tweeted, there was a tweet about the SEC being a dominant out-of-conference team, dominating the rest of those conferences, and then once they got into conference play, they became a league who was 500, which is just how math and conference scheduling works. Well, we have a SEC coach responding to Karl Ravitch and that controversy, if you want to call it that. Mark Pope, who's the new coach at Kentucky, took over for John Calipari in a presser this week. He talked about the SEC struggling and only being 500 in conference play.
Coach, everybody talks about the SEC being the best conference in college basketball, but the conference is just 500 since conference play started. What do you make of that?
I think it's been a really disappointing start to conference play. I feel like we should, I feel like we're not living up to the expectations, just being at 500 as a conference. And I'm kind of looking around at the other programs in the league, but like, guys, we got to pick this up. This is embarrassing. And so we'll find a way. I believe in this league. I think we definitely have an upside, and we're going to work really hard to get there.
So Karl Ravitch never become the internet's main character. It's a very almost inside baseball thing that this is a thing floating around college basketball, but we got reporters trolling you in press conferences and the coaches themselves leaning into it. Never become the internet's main character. Karl Ravitch has since, at first he was like, no, I'm in on the joke, and then no one believed him. Then he walked it back and said, hey, we made a mistake. It happens. And before we go to break, AJ, what do you think about this? Mike Stanton, longtime reliever in baseball. We've seen him on Space City Home Network as an analyst for the Astros. Well, we know who Mike Stanton is. You know who Mike Stanton is. Do you know who, I don't even know if I can pronounce your name right. Is it Jamliz? J-A-M-E-L-I-Z? Jamliz? I don't know how to pronounce her name. I really have never heard of her, but it's not even her official account, but she is a, let's just say, an OnlyFans creator.
I haven't heard of her.
I don't know who she is. I apologize for butchering this very popular woman's name. Sorry. So a parody account of hers wrote this with a picture of her in the produce aisle in a revealing outfit. She's in the grocery store. And a parody account wrote this: deleting in 48 hours, but whoever likes and says hi, I'll send you nudies vids with a heart emoji. Once again, deleting in 48 hours, but whoever likes and says hi, I'll send you nudies and vids. Because, of course, what an OnlyFans creator likes to do is send you free stuff because you say hi. That's how it works. That's how the game works. You know what Mike Stanton responded with? Hi. I don't know if Mike Stanton knows that people can see his replies. It has not been deleted as of yet. And I believe this is the real Mike Stanton. I go to the profile. It says Christian. That's the first word in the profile. Husband and father. Analyst, Space City Home Network, analyst, MLB Network, Radio Series, XM, all the things, all in his profile. It could be someone who got into his account. It could be a thing where Mike Stanton doesn't run his account. He tweeted that 10 hours ago. It remains. There are a couple of things. First, at least if you're going to respond, don't respond to a fake account. Respond to the actual account. I think. In fact, It says once again, don't know how to say her name, but in the profile it says fans, Jamaliz fans. It's not even her, and he responded with hi. That's a rough one for Mike Stanton. There was a time where, well, you can still, I guess, see people's likes, but they've made it more difficult. but you could see people's likes pop up on your timeline, and that became embarrassing for people. Because even people at the station, I don't think they, not anyone who works here now, but people at the station at a time liked tweets from a porn actress. And then because the algorithm will show you what people you follow are doing, that will pop up on the timeline. Oh, okay. I know what you're about. Freaky little boy. I know what you're about. You're into stuff. Okay. It pops up. Freaky little man more specifically. But Mike Stanton, the internet stuff never goes away. This one, people have already screenshotted it, so you can't really delete it. But that one's tough, man. I hope there's a reasonable explanation, like Mike Stanton doesn't really tweet from his own account. Someone got into it. Even if that's not true, sell that. I will believe it. I'll let it go. I'll believe that is what's happening, not that you got fooled by not even a real account and you tweeted high. It's a rough one, man. But I get it. I guess you thought you had free nudes coming your way. Someone thought they had free nudes coming their way. And no, you don't. You don't have them. And now it's public knowledge that someone behind that Stanton account is tweeting to OnlyFans creators. So there that is. Never tweet. It's bad news. No one's thoughts are that important. That's all. I only tweeted today just to let people know that we would in some way, shape, or form start our day at 10 a.m. But that's the other side of it. Where if you're not internet savvy, things like that happen. Okay, we'll come back with more Texan stuff because D'Amico Ryans explained why the decision to get rid of Bobby Slowick was made. And we'll hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Be like John and Lance, take the day off work, and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brownback Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the Promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration until Friday. So going out there benefits a great cause and kids' meals. Get to the website and then show up at Wildcat, we will be doing a show from there. I think it's an all-day thing. I don't remember, but at least 7 to 12 will be out there, and it may be the entire station will be broadcasting from Wildcat Golf Club. So you'll be able to see us if that appeals to you, and if it's just a golf you want to take part in, you can do that as well. Okay, yesterday was Nick Kelly Day for the Texans. They introduced him, the new OC formerly from the Rams. The old OC got a job. He is the passing game coordinator for the Dolphins. All it takes is for you to know someone who's in a position of power. And with Bobby Slowick and Mike McDaniel both being in San Francisco, there's a soft landing spot for him. He gets a job. But the job he did have is one that people questioned. Pretty much everything he did from maybe week four on, as far as why CJ wasn't performing the way he should, how come our guy keeps getting sacked. D'Amico, friend of Slowick, that was pointed out throughout as maybe a reason he would stay. Here's D'Amico Ryans on why the decision was made to fire Bobby Slowick.
It was very hard to let Bobby go. Bobby's a really close friend, as you all know. Bobby's a great friend of mine. When I got into coaching, Bobby was the guy who helped me figure it all out. And we were QCs together there in San Fran, so really long relationship there with him. Nothing but love and admiration for Bobby and what he's done. I know he'll be a really good coach in this league as he continues to press forward in his career, and I wish him nothing but the best.
D'Amico, class act. Had to have been tough. How much of it was player-driven? How much did he actually want to do it? He talked about the process of hiring Nick Kelly. He discussed it took a while. He was very thorough. The question for me is, and it may be something we never find out, is how long how long did it take for him to make this decision on Bobby Slowick? Was this something that was in the works from November on, or was this something that he was going to wait and see the totality of the season? And if CJ didn't get sacked as many times as he did against Kansas City, was Bobby Slowick coming back? Sean and I talked about Bobby Slowick and his status going into the Chargers game, and could a performance one way or the other decide his fate? If he was awful, at least the offense was awful, would he have been fired at the Chargers game? If it was great and seemed to have things turned around at least for a game, was that going to save his job? The offense wasn't great against the Chargers. It wasn't awful. It was kind of middling, which for the Texans this year is actually above what they were as a whole. They were a bottom 10 offense. Then we saw the Kansas City game where they had no answers, where Schultz and Dare were trying to block Karlaftis. Neither one got a piece of him, and he chased CJ down on a big down late in that game. Was that the final straw, or was this always going to happen? Of course, if they go on some miracle run, the offense is great, they make a Super Bowl, things would change. But I do wonder, considering how close they are and maybe wanting to give his guy a third year, if it was laid out for him clearly that this could not stand after CJ got harassed for the better part of four quarters and was limping very early in the quarter, I think maybe even quarter one, but early in that game, and that continued throughout. Sometimes you need like a smack across the face to tell you, a proverbial smack across the face to tell you, okay, in our biggest game of the year, we are dealing with the same problems we dealt with all year to a level that isn't sustainable. Like, you could survive in cases. Your offense cannot operate against the Chiefs in a game that was winnable, which might have played even a bigger part in it. That game's winnable, but your offense could not even be competent, let alone excellent. And then you make a decision to get rid of him. Now it's Nick Cayley's job to fix what's ailing the Texans. Is he capable? We won't know. We won't know no matter what is said leading up until week one. In fact, it'll be a year-long type of judgment. It'll take all year, I think, to figure out what they are as a team, unless they're amazing for the first half, and then we might have a clear answer on that. So we got All-Star Weekend coming up here, and the TNT guys is acting a fool, something I should say, or at least Shaq is acting that way. Shaq, I think it was last night, I guess censors don't matter anymore. I know it's cable. Nothing's going to happen to Shaq. Those guys are kind of cemented as legends in basketball and in broadcasting. So I don't think TNT would touch him. But I had to clean it up because we don't have the type of rules that they do. But here's Shaq late in the broadcast on his feelings about getting out of there.
All right.
In the words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm tired of in America. We get fired anywhere, Ernie.
I don't know what's going on over there. Earlier this week, Charles Barkley's talking about how the idiots at TNT lost the NBA. They're going to at least for a year be produced by TNT, but the product will be, or the show will be, on ESPN. And Barkley's talked about that, but Ernie hasn't gotten to that point yet because he's still got a contract with TNT. He'll be doing things beyond basketball. Kenny Smith is probably the least likely to do something like Shaq or Charles, but that's where we're at now. It'll be interesting in the showcase event for the NBA, beyond the NBA Finals, how the TNT guys react. Do they button up a little bit because the entire NBA world's watching, or are they their normal selves and allow what's going on right now to kind of influence how they react? I may only watch All-Star Weekend for those guys. That might be the only reason I watch. The All-Star Game, they have a new format. We'll see if it produces more competitiveness. All the contests don't care about. Mac McClung is back in the dunk contest because that's the only guy they think can provide any form of entertainment. The Sabrina Ionescu and Curry thing is off. They're getting rid of that. Caitlin Clark already told them, no, I'd rather participate in the WNBA's three-point contest before I did an event with the NBA. So as far as All-Star games or weekends, like, it's still above the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl has never really mattered. But it's getting to a point where it's almost Pro Bowl-like as far as how much people care. It used to be great. We all know. You see the highlights. Those will pop up this weekend. There was one video that showed up. I think it was Michael Jordan's last All-Star game. And he made a turnaround jump over Sean Marion to give the East the lead. And then who was the coach of the East at the time? I think it was Isaiah Thomas. He told Steve Francis to, or maybe, I don't know how this worked out, but he told Steve Francis to go up to Kobe, who was fouled in a three-point attempt as the West was down by two, to go miss the free throws. Of all people, he told Steve Francis to tell Kobe Bryant to miss all three free throws, or at least miss enough free throws so the East could win and Michael Jordan could go out as a winner. And Kobe's like, what? I'm not missing these free throws against Mike? For Mike, of all people? You think I'm missing three free throws? The question is, would Michael Jordan miss free throws on purpose for anyone? Of course not. He would never be asked. So Steve Francis asked Kobe, or at least told Kobe what Isaiah Thomas won, and Kobe said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to make these. And he made all three. The West won. I kind of think of someone, I'm trying to think of the, if this was LeBron's last year and he made a turnaround jumper, I think if they told or asked the right person to miss the free throws, they'd miss the free throws. I think that's where we're at. I'm trying to think who's most likely to miss free throws on purpose. Draymond. If Draymond, he's not at the All-Star game, but Draymond loves LeBron so much, he would definitely miss two free throws to help LeBron go out on top. But as far as actual All-Stars, who could get asked to miss and they would do it? You probably have to go with the young guy. Not Ant Edwards. He wouldn't miss the free throws. We know what Ant Edwards is about on the court and off the court. I'm not gonna elaborate. AJ knows. He's shaking it. He's nodding his head. Ant Edwards is about it. We saw him against the Rockets, which is what he's best known for. But there's some things on the internet he's known for, too, as far as wanting things done a certain way. To be honest, I don't know if it's tough to say some guy's going to miss on purpose. Without Draymond in the mix, maybe all the guys would try to make him. But that's a crazy ask of Kobe Bryant. And you got the expected response. I'm going to make all three and win this one. And then you can talk about how great Michael's turnaround was. But remember, I won this All-Star game. Shout out to Jermaine O'Neal for fouling a three-point shooter in an All-Star game. It's an All-Star game, but still a bad decision. We'll come back with Michael Carroll. He is the host of Comicast, the co-host. He does that with Jong Lee. He'll tell you and me what you should or shouldn't watch on this Friday. It is Valentine's Day. We've got Captain America, Brave New World out. Not getting great reviews, but I gotta support. I'm going. I gotta watch. That's right. That's right, AJ. If you saw the Twitch or YouTube or Twitter, you know what AJ just did. And I agree. I gotta support. No matter what you say about that movie, I'm gonna go watch. And I have seen that Anthony Mackie's performance is a good one. It's just that the movie itself is kind of nonsensical. Well, you got Harrison Ford as a giant red Hulk, so that might give you a clue how dumb the movie may be. We will see. At least I will see a little bit later today. But Michael might have some more things for you to watch. He'll talk about that when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is here with us, Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. Jong Lee, who has seen Captain America Brave New World. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, he has. He has seen it. But can we talk about what just happened during
okay.
the break?
You got to air grievances? That's fine with me.
I got to air a grievance. So during the break, I set up. AJ sees me. We're talking. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
And then Sam, our social media person, comes in and delivers you a Valentine's Day.
Yes, apparently this is why it may upset you even more. Multiple people are getting these. We took photos this week, and one of the photos I took is on this nice Valentine's Day, and it says, I got a Delu, which is a replacement of Tell You. I got to tell you, happy Valentine's Day. There are puns, and I don't like puns, but it's fine. It's fine. I appreciate the effort.
And she delivers some Jolly Ranchers as well.
But the Valentine is for me to give to someone, because it says, isn't it me? Wouldn't it be me giving this to someone? How the sun
Oh,
is?
Yeah, with the two. Yeah.
I'm not giving someone a paper Valentine's, not even a card, but if it would be them producing something for me to give to someone. But in this case, it's my Valentine's. And I got a box of Jolly Rancher gummies. Michael rightfully so pointed out, I'm sitting right here. Where's mine? And if you're going to give Del this, why not wait or do it before I come in?
She said, oh, yeah, everyone's getting one. I was like, where's mine? Oh, you're not getting one.
You're not getting one. Were you a person who took a picture?
No one told me about a picture.
So you didn't take a picture for the pictures this week. So you don't get a Valentine's produced for you. You don't take pictures, and you don't get candy.
I got nothing.
And then Sam, because you made her feel bad, and rightfully so, said, "Oh, the candy is for you and Del." So I'm supposed to share my candy with you because she made a mistake.
I don't want pity candy.
Exactly.
I want my own candy.
A box of candy for yourself.
Also, you couldn't do this in a segment before.
Yeah. It could have been once the show was over. Yeah. She found me out there. Sam. There's been an hour and a half before you got here, and she decided to walk in now.
I give Sam so much credit for what she's done with social media.
First mistake you made, but go ahead.
Apparently. No love for me, Sam.
Yeah.
Ouch. I am hurt.
You should give the love you receive, and she's never given you the type of love you've given her, so now you've learned your lesson.
You know what, Sam? You don't get any more recommendations.
There it is.
That's what's going to happen
now. You can stick with sideline, the quarterback and me, Abigail's recommendation from that Tubi original she talked about yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Her in honor of this segment, hey, do you have a recommendation? And that's what she popped out with.
I got to talk to Abigail.
You got to give her some better. She had Galentine's Day yesterday. I hope that went well for you. But never, ever, ever bring a Tubi original to me again.
She used to come in and train with me and stuff, you know, on like recording spots and all that. Apparently, I need to teach the watching of shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, just stay off of, look for Tubi for reruns of stuff. Yeah. Why are you bringing stuff that they create themselves to the table?
I'm disappointed with Abigail and Sam. AJ, I'm proud of you. You're going to go see a movie that I am going to recommend this weekend, and so I'm very proud of you.
AJ and I are both going to see it. In fact, I have my candy for the moment as I sneak these in, and we're seeing it to support. I don't care what the reviews say. We're supporting.
we're all supporting here.
Yes, we love ourselves some Anthony Mackie, and I'll be damned if I'm going to be someone who doesn't see his first. He's not solo, but it is his movie
right
on him. It's about him as Captain America after the series, the Winter Captain America and Winter Soldier. You think I'm not going to go see it? I watched Steve Rogers for years. I can't watch the Falcon turn into Captain America.
Oh, you can watch that.
Sam Wilson, I can't watch him. Of course I'm going to go watch it. So I imagine you'll be recommending that. The reviews have been mixed. There are some questions about whether some of that's genuine or not, or whether that's just hate. I will find that out a little bit later. But is it maybe the most poorly reviewed movie you've recommended?
In the time that I've done this segment, I don't know that it's the most poorly. I think it's one of the more split ones for sure.
Yeah.
Because critics are... The critics that I follow, a lot of the ones that I follow that have been on the podcast or I've worked with on the podcast and stuff like that, they have liked it. They've enjoyed
it.
Some of the other ones from some bigger outlets have not enjoyed
it. Vulture has been crushing this.
Vulture, IGN, I think the Hollywood Reporter was mixed. I forget where they're at. But a lot of the critics, it's 52% on Rotten Tomatoes right now with critics. But with audiences, it was at 80. Now it's at 78%. So okay. I think it's definitely a movie that people are going to enjoy, like just general audience is going to enjoy it. To me, it's going to be based off what Jong has seen it, my co-host on Comicast. He's seen it and he gave it out of a 10. He gave it a 6.5.
Okay.
He thought it's very, what did he say? He said it was okay to decent, better than Love and Thunder and Ant-Man. Cool. I assume he means the last Ant-Man.
Quantumania.
And he said it felt like a comic book movie from the early 2000s, which I was like, huh, so interesting.
X-Men-ish? Is that the
campy reference? And lots of action.
Okay.
So, and I saw somebody else, I think it was Polygon, the outlet, say something about one of the scenes felt straight out of 2010.
Okay.
So I don't know how to take that. Another content creator that I follow gave it an 8, And so I think if you're going to watch this movie this weekend, expect a very, don't expect a top 10 Marvel experience, but don't expect Quantumania experience either. It's, no, I think it's very much in the middle when we talk about these rankings of Marvel films. Like, to me, somebody was asking, I said Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie, but to me, it's probably the weaker. It's like right in the middle, like in the 20s, maybe, of Marvel films.
Gotcha.
High teens, 20s, somewhere in there. I haven't done a ranking off the top of my head, but that's where I would seemingly put Brave New World. I'm seeing it tomorrow. You're seeing it
right after
the show.
Here, yeah.
AJ's seeing it this weekend. We're all going to go see it because, I mean, I want to see Anthony Mackie, Captain America, Sam Wilson.
I do want to see it on the big screen, yeah.
Probably the biggest concern I have is just, and this is a sentiment that I've been, that Jong and I have talked about on Comicast, I worry that there's just too many characters because you have, obviously, Red Hulk, he's all in the trailer. Promotions and trailer and all that.
All over it,
but you also have the leader, played by Tim Blake Nelson, mm-hmm. which we haven't seen since 2008's Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
You also have Giancarlo Esposito's character Sidewinder, which feels like that one is the one where I'm like, do we need Sidewinder in this movie? I don't think so. That's a prejudgment. I don't know yet.
We got an Elemental. I mean, at least in the background of when they're flying around and stuff.
That's right. Yeah. We got that. We got that in the trailers and stuff. And we got Sabra, which is a mutant in the comics, but I think it's a Black Widow in the movie. Like, there's a whole bunch of things happening in this movie that I'm like, maybe you've stuffed it a little too much. So that's my only concern, but I'll see it, tomorrow. So I'll give a better rating.
Elemental. What is that thing called?
Celestial.
Celestial. Yeah, Elemental is something else in Marvel. The
Adamantium storyline is going to be interesting.
Yeah, they're introducing Adamantium. So I'm very curious how that, I mean, this is not a spoiler. They say it in the trailer, mm-hmm. one of the trailers. There's a ton of trailers, by the way. So Captain America, Brave New World.
What's the strongest metal in the Marvel Universe? Adamantium or is that part of, are we going to find that answer out in this one?
I don't know if we'll find the answer out.
What's the most valuable metal?
This feels like a moment where, like, Michael's nerd card gets revoked right here because he doesn't know which one's stronger.
Oh, I'm not asking you specifically. I'm just saying I thought that might have been a question that gets answered in this movie. The most valuable metal in the Marvel Universe.
I think it'll be the most valuable right now just because you can get to it because of the Celestial that they, obviously introduced. And that seems to be a storyline that's been pushed through with, I guess it was Falcon and Winter Soldier and Black Panther Wakanda Forever, where I think it was the French that were trying to steal vibranium or whatever at the beginning of that movie. So it's been an ongoing thing of we're trying to get the best weapons we can because of this new age that we're in with superheroes and metahumans
and all that stuff. Yeah.
So that's going to be a through line that I think will be, obviously it's going to lead us to X-Men at some point. So, Captain America, Brave New World. I'm excited for it. Of course, there's a post-credit scene. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. What do you expect? So don't leave. I was always baffled by people who leave Marvel movies.
What if you've heard of what the post-credit scene will be and aren't impressed by what? Can you leave then?
I guess you could leave then.
If you already know what it is.
If you already know what it is, I get it. Apparently, the Captain America, Brave New World post-credit leaked on Wednesday. Like, it's just, what are we doing at this point?
Ruining a movie experience? That's what we're doing.
And apparently, like, even in some reviews, they dropped, like, so-and-so pops up. And it's like, come on, man. What are we doing? Like, be smart when you're reviewing these movies.
Seen anything other than people ripping the post-credit scene, but that's the only thing I know about this movie other than what I've seen in previews.
I haven't seen anything either, but did y'all hear that, like, the Marvel Studios, like, intro, it isn't played on this movie?
I did see that, too.
Yeah. I saw that, too.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. I don't know.
That's about, yeah. We got a call up there. We'll get the name for that person, and then we'll get to you at some point in the segment. But, obviously, that's the big movie of the weekend. Is there anything else people who aren't Marvel people should go see?
So if you're not a Marvel person, but maybe you're into family movies, let me tell you about a little bear called Paddington.
Oh,
Paddington in Peru is happening
they
this weekend.
Paddington to Peru?
Yeah, he's visiting his aunt Lucy, who's apparently in a retired home for bears.
In Peru.
Yeah, in Peru. Because I guess that's where she was from. I don't know.
How long has Paddington been around?
A long time. And I'm not going to lie, movie's pretty good.
Oh, you've seen it?
I've seen the first two.
It's okay.
Because I was like, what's this bear about? I've seen this bear photoshopped in all these movies.
Yeah.
There's an account that just kept photoshopping Paddington and all these different scenes and things like that. So I was like, let me see what this Paddington bear is all about. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
So Paddington's been around, at least the movies have, since 2014. The story itself was an animated series going back to the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be a Paddington. There's a Paddington the musical.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
It's coming up here. I'm not watching it.
I don't know about musical, but Paddington in Peru, 94% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Paddington, getting it done.
Yeah, Paddington. If you want to go watch a little bear do his and enjoy marmalade, I think that's his big thing, marmalade, go check that out.
Okay, the musical is an actual theater event, not a movie or TV show, so definitely don't have to care about it. But I think that's Eric, I believe, because he called in earlier. Not sure. I believe that's Eric. Eric, what's your question about Captain America?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it today. I don't know why people are saying it's not good. I hope it's good. You haven't seen it yet, I think. But also, there's some new horror movies coming out, The Black Phone 2 and Until Dawn. Mm-hmm. You know anything about those? I'm going to listen.
I love the Black Phone 1. It was inventive, at least in my eyes. Ethan Hawke was the main villain. You could see it now on Peacock if you have that service. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a good review. I love that movie. Mostly because there are kids in it, and you think at a point that, okay, this kid, they're not gonna actually hurt the kid, but it's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Some of those kids have bad endings. I'm not Michael Jordan where it's F them kids all the time. It wasn't like I'm happy that the kids are dying, but some you have to suspend disbelief sometimes and try to convince yourself that there are some stakes involving this, and in this movie there are real stakes. So I wonder how they will duplicate it, because it felt like there was no more story to tell, but apparently there is. So I don't know if Ethan Hawke's coming back. I'll look into that. But the Black Phone, the first one, was really good. You can go see that on Peacock. As far as, what do you say, Until Dawn?
Until Dawn.
That is based off a video game. There are some differences to make it into a movie.
It's very different.
We've talked
from
about
the
it
game.
A little bit
yeah.
before, yeah.
There's a new trailer out for it this week, and it really kind of showcases the idea of, the only way to survive for them is to survive one night, but it's like a Groundhog Day in a sense, where they keep repeating the night over and over again, and they have to fend for themselves to get through the night. But every time they redo the night or day or whatever, it's a different scenario. So it may be like a whatever ghostly type figure, then it's a slasher, then it's it seems like it's going to play on different horror movie genres as the film plays along, and their goal is to survive, make it through at night, but they keep dying in horrific ways because they don't know what's coming, which is drastically different from the video game. But it kind of takes the core concept of you picking and choosing how to survive the events. It takes that base concept and applies it to film.
So Ethan Hawke will be back for the Black Phone 2. He is titled The Grabber.
I just saw the Grabber.
That's the name of his character. So, yeah, it's a little creepy, a little weird, particularly with him. And you know, there are children involved in a horror movie. So it's going to be dark. The Black Phone 1 was dark and psychological and, of course, the murder. So if you are okay with that, I would suggest watching it. If you want your heart to be a little light, stay away from the Black Phone, because you're not going to feel great about it throughout. Maybe you get a happy ending at the end. I won't give it away. So we've got Captain America Brave New World. We've got Paddington in Peru. Does that end the movies that people should go see?
I mean, there's some limited releases that are out this weekend. Harry Potter has a re-release event this weekend because it's the 20th anniversary of Goblet of Fire or something like that. So I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, so I'm whatever about it. So
I'm going to throw you out of this room. No, it's fine. It's fine. I never read the
that's
books.
That's where my nerve
no, it's
gets
fine.
Revoked.
I never read the books. The movies are fine. I mean, I don't care about much other than I'm a completist, like I've said before, so I watch all of them. I don't go back and watch them. It's not like something where I need to go do a Potter rewatch.
So I never was into them, and then I think an ex of mine, she was big into them, so I watched them then, but I watched them out of order.
Why?
Because she was like, oh, I'm going to watch this one. I was like, all right, cool.
Oh,
whatever.
If you don't care, then it's a pop-up.
So that's how I watched them. I watched like 4 first, then 6, then 3 or whatever. It was very confusing for me to keep up with everything.
The last two I'm a fan of because they're more serious because the actors are older, or at least the characters, in this case, they've become, I guess you want to say, young adults. So there's a bit more serious tone. I'm not going back to watch Daniel Radcliffe as like an 11-year-old. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that.
No. But it's out there for people if you want to go check it out in theaters this weekend.
Okay. Let's move on to what you might want to do if you're staying home. You know, it's Valentine's Day weekend. Maybe you want to spend the weekend at home with a significant other.
Romantic film, maybe.
Possibly, or maybe that's not the vibe of your relationship and you'd rather watch something else. There are options for you. Michael, what's number one?
Happy the Gorge Day.
Thank
to you, Del.
And I've watched the first 20 minutes of the Gorge. I talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
I said I had to choose. Am I going to watch an hour and a half of this and then watch Captain America Brave New World and then finish it, or watch a Severance episode, the newest one, which I did. Helly R and Mark are going through some things right now.
Oh, no.
Or watch the first 20 minutes of the Gorge. I chose that option, and we haven't gotten to the romance, so I'm in. Everyone's dark and depressed about their lives. They're both like contract killers,
right,
snipers, and you know the toll it takes on you to be that type of person, and that's why they take the job of protecting the Gorge. So that part I'm good with. Has one of the leads from the London show about the mob? Ah, I lost it. Gangs of London.
Mm-hmm.
That he is kind of our narrator. He tells the Miles Teller character what the deal is. So the first 20 minutes.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The first 20 minutes, I'm in. We haven't met Anya Taylor-Joy to the point where she's talking to Miles Teller yet, so I'm not sure how it's going to go. But the first 20 minutes, cool. Thank you for wishing me Happy Gorge Day.
You're welcome. If Sean was here, I'd wish him Happy Gorge Day as well. I'm sure wherever he's at, he's celebrating how he does.
I'm sure.
63% with critics, 80% with fans. So
that's right. The people.
The people speaking, and they say go watch The Gorge on Apple TV Plus, available right now. So there's that. There's quite a few options this week, this weekend for stuff streaming. Cobra Kai Season 6, Part 3. Is releasing the final episodes for
Cobra
that.
Cobra Kai need a part three of a season six?
This is just Netflix trying to do the binge model, but not do the binge model.
They understand that one of their properties, maybe they want more people to talk about it, so they're trying to extend it. But
just go to weekly release.
Yeah, just go to weekly.
Just go to
like
for the
are they
big
doing
ones?
That? Yeah, go to weekly for, go release to weekly for the bigger release. Things. Like Stranger Things, you can get away with making that a weekly release as opposed to what they're...
Yeah. Well,
they're going to do like two parts again, right?
They're going to do, yeah.
You already made it movie length every episode. You could get away with making it a week to week thing.
I mean, with all the other streamers basically still doing the week to week model, Netflix, I do think they need to adjust the release strategy.
We were kind of the first and this is what we do, so they're trying to stick to it.
Yeah, I think they're trying to stick with that, but
hey,
then,
stick with this. Stick with a price.
But
stop making me pay for more when you're offering less value.
But when you, like you just mentioned, Severance, that's staying in people's minds because it's coming out week to week.
You don't watch it all and then it's out of your head because you move on to something else.
You stick around, not just in terms of just us talking about it, but just in terms of the social media discussions about it and promotions about it and all that. Like something like The Pit or something like Paradise or something like Severance.
It just
sticks around.
Their
more
whole economy is built on talking about TV shows in podcast form. You have a podcast. There's so many podcasts who do this. And you know, some podcasts on the bigger podcast networks will devote week to week podcasts to a show. They'll recap episode 4, then episode 5. Stranger Things could get away with that if they wanted to. If they wanted to do...
And it would be huge.
Yeah, episode 1 of their final season, talk about it. Hell, it's, as I said, it's movie length. There's enough to talk about. You could be part of the conversation for 2 months as opposed to a weekend in June, and then I don't know when it's released, in a weekend in June, and then a weekend in early July, however they're going
to
release them.
It's so important now to just not get lost in the and not Stranger Things wouldn't necessarily get lost, like that's a big enough property at this point, but it helps so much with other shows, especially like maybe even lower tier ones where you get released one weekend and then the next weekend you find out it's canceled. So it's just it would help so much more, but they're sticking with the binge model kind of with, but they're adapting to it a little bit with these part releases. But Cobra Kai season 6 releases, part 3 releases this weekend. Final episodes for that. I'm not a big White Lotus fan, but season 3 premieres on HBO this weekend, Sunday at 8 for folks out there. Yellow Jackets premieres this weekend, season 3.
I turned on my TV this morning and season 3 episode 1 is available now. Before we move on, we talk quite a bit I said we would welcome calls. Let's get to Steven. Steven has a question. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was just trying to get a recommendation. I had somebody let me know about a show coming out called The Righteous Gemstones. Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, see if y'all knew anything, yeah, if it was any good or not. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Steven. It's been out for a while now on HBO. You can watch it on Max now.
Is it the final season, isn't it?
It might be. It might be. It's season 4 coming up, Steven. So you've got plenty to catch up on if you haven't seen any of it, which it sounds like you haven't. It's funny. Danny McBride, you know him from Eastbound and Down and other things. He's in it. Adam Devine is in it as well. John Goodman. It is a show about a televangelist family who they lean into all the things you think about televangelists that are negative, or they're not really godlike. Their priorities are very different than what the Bible teachings would suggest. It's funny. I am behind, but when I watch an episode, I like it. So you can try it out. You've got 3 seasons to get into before season 4 comes out a little bit later this year.
Actually, in a couple of weeks, March 9th, 2025, season 4. And it is the final season. So if you want to, Steven, if you want to start binging that now, if it is something that you enjoy,
yeah.
Give it a shot. I haven't personally watched it, but I've heard similar things as what you've heard, though.
Walton Goggins is in it. He's my favorite character.
Strong cast.
Baby Billy. Baby Billy's in it. Just look up some Baby Billy clips, and maybe that'll convince you to watch entire episodes. Okay, we're running a little long. You got anything else before we wrap it up?
No, there's a low-key film, Broken Rage, on Prime Video. Part 1 releases this weekend. I can't necessarily give you you for sure got to watch it, but the trailer has me intrigued. But the trailer is only in, like, Japanese, so I haven't been able to figure it out fully.
Okay.
But from reviews and everything, it looks really good. Also has one of the stars from Shogun. So
awesome.
That's a low-key, like, maybe give it a shot.
So if you're good with subtitles, that might be something for you. I'm sure Prime will dub it for you as well.
Yes.
Okay, we are done for the day. I want to thank Michael, host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee.
Thank you.
You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. Of course, AJ for filling in for Sean. Thank you for that. Galan George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And since we're done for the day, AJ, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you on Monday. Stand up, Anthony Mackie.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.